Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Our speaker tonight, many of you, most of you will probably know, is Anna Breckenridge. She's been a member here for many years. She had both her wedding and her ordination right here at Canando, and she's a very cherished member of our group. So everybody, please welcome Anna Breckenridge.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was ordained recently in the fall of last year. And I did that not to give Dharma talks. I have a lifelong fear of public speaking. But for me, there was also a lifelong draw to our vows and to making that commitment to myself, to my teacher, and to the Sangha. And so I'd like to talk about vows tonight because that's what's alive for me. And to thank my teacher for his unwavering support. So what I'd like to start with is something a little different. I'd like to do kind of a guided exercise, if everyone's okay with that. So I'm gonna read the Bodhisattva vows, the four vows that we do at the end of these talks. And I'm gonna invite you to close your eyes, or if you're comfortable, maybe find a spot and relax your focus. And I'm gonna read these vows, and then I'm gonna guide you through some questions. And maybe just be curious about what arises for you in your body and your mind. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. What feelings arise when you hear those vows in your mind and your body? Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Maybe an image comes up. Maybe you feel some resistance. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Does the way I say that affect you? If I said, delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them, do you experience something differently? Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Where do you feel that? Maybe it's a feeling of peace. Maybe there's a question. The Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. Do any images come up? Any thoughts? Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. Thank you. So maybe nothing came up for you. Maybe no difference in your body feeling. Maybe nothing arose in your head. That's okay. If that's the case, I'd encourage you to try this on your own sometime. Maybe your own inner voice or saying it aloud might bring something else up. The definition of vow is a solemn promise, and to declare that solemn promise. So when you hear that, a promise to whom? Declare to whom? There's a quote by Dale S. Wright. who wrote a book, Living Skillfully, Buddhist Philosophy of Life, from the Vrinala Kirti Sutra. My handwriting is terrible, so I might have mispronounced that. He says, the Bodhisattva vow is to be there with us and for us, not above or beyond us. And so I do this exercise as a way to see how the Bodhisattva vow is in your mind and in your body. Do you know the feeling of vow? Are you familiar with how it comes up? And how do these vows show up in your life? How do your vows show up in your hobbies, in your relationships, in your decisions about job opportunities, in your decisions about how you spend money? Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. How does that show up for you? How do you stand in the world with that vow? Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. How does that show up for you? How do you stand in the world with that vow? Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. How does that show up for you? How do you stand in the world with that vow? The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. How does that show up for you? How do you stand in the world? So for me, this has been going in an ongoing exploration to understand these vows in my body, to understand these vows in my thought process, and to have my life align with these vows and others. I've made a personal vow to choose practice over my preferences, and that's a thought that comes up a lot. Sometimes it's helpful to come to these words, like we just did, to think about them. And sometimes the feeling's enough. I don't know if you've ever been in traffic and someone cuts you off and you tighten your grip on the steering wheel, but then you notice that you tightened your grip and that you have that tension feeling. Someone's demonstrating that here. And so you can come to your breath, and that can help. That can help you see more clearly. That's not to say that you should come to your breath and avoid those feelings. There's a term, spiritual bypassing, that we talk about a lot, where really you're suppressing your feeling. And I think it is much more helpful to feel your feelings. But are you holding on to your feelings, or are you letting them live as they would, to move on? And I think that with our vows too, we can go back to the vow, the feeling of vow, if you're familiar with it. For me, a lot of these vows bring a feeling of focus and a feeling of peace, a connection to nature, a connection to others. And knowing how that physically feels in my body can be helpful. So I mentioned some things about how vows show up in your life, in your hobbies, in your relationships, in your job, how you deal with money. And that's really all values, you know. How do you choose to spend your money? Are you supporting things that you value with your money? Are you supporting yourself and your relationships? Some of my hobbies in this process are gardening. I like to foster dogs, cooking, and those hobbies, I feel I can give care to others, to other beings. There's constant curiosity. Every dog that we foster is, who are you? What do you need? How can I care for you? And also, what's best for your life? Because I'm not the last stop. They aren't my dogs. I don't own those beings. I take care of them, how they show up in my life, and they go on. And that's been a constant Dharma gate. So in thinking about coming to vow in times of difficulty and in times of ease, which we all have, this can really lead to a path of understanding how to live your life in a wholesome way, in a way that you're benefiting yourself, you're benefiting others, you're saving all beings. And that doesn't always mean that you're not creating harm. Sometimes your choices will still create harm. Sometimes a skillful choice can create harm. I vowed not to lie, and that's usually one of the easier ones for me, but in exploring this, I realize there's times where it might be most skillful to lie. And that is creating harm. But, you know, there's extreme circumstances. Maybe someone needs to leave a relationship with abuse. And the way to do that might be to tell a lie, to get away safely. And that could certainly cause harm, but it might also be the most skillful choice. So how do we think about these vows? How do we take them on? And how do we keep coming back to them in a way that makes sense to us? Saving all beings means saving yourself, saving others. And when anything arises, it's a new Dharma gate, every single one. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about what arose for you in thinking about this, any challenges you have, and any questions about vow and how it plays out for you.
Lee? I have a comment. When I think of vows, I can't help, even though I'm not a doctor, I can't help but think of the Hippocratic Oath, which says, first, do no harm. And I think that that's, for all of us, a great place to start. I kind of, you know, I try to remember that, you know, in those moments of, you know, when anger comes up, or, you know, where you mentioned, you know, the difficulties of driving in heavy traffic and having people who are rude, you know, who rudely cut you off or whatever happens. So I try to think of that. And then I also think of just how can I change the way that when anger comes up, how can I cool down the heat? And I just try to think of, let me think of a kind thought about this person. You know, maybe they're very stressed and they need to get someplace fast, and I can just say, go ahead, sweetheart. You can take the lane. It's yours. You know, I just try to be more generous towards the people who might be doing things that are annoying or seem rude, but you know, I want to give them a nicer excuse for being there. We think, you know, well, we all get stressed sometimes, so go ahead. You know, I'm not gonna hold you back. I don't know. So I think that, yeah, to start off with, let's not always think the worst of people if they do something that seems rude to us. Let's just think, oh, maybe they don't know any better, or maybe they're just really stressed over something and they're not even thinking about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to go with the first do no harm to yourself and to others. I think anger does us more harm than good.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Martha?
The term skillful means came up while you were talking, and I think I heard that term in relationship to Buddhism, maybe less used it in a talk, but it's just that using skillful means to handle things, just I guess that means don't act out of the top of your head, but think about what it is you're doing. And I like the way you started that off with the Hippocratic Oath, because that is do no harm. That's skillful means as well.
Does anyone online have any questions or comments?
Thank you, Anna, for your talk. It's good to consciously think about our vows and all the things we chant. Sometimes it can become just rote and going through the motions. So to consciously think fully, and in fact, we repeat them. We don't just say them once. It's good to have a conscious feeling of our vows, all of the vows that we have. It's interesting that you use the example of driving. It's funny how driving on 101 often is when we meet ourselves, like, ah, you know, the gut reaction with other drivers, how I can judge someone that's driving next to me. I don't even know the person, but look what they're doing. And then, you know, it has to come back to me. Diane, what are you doing? Take a deep breath, relax. That person may have some horrible thing going on with them. So we all, I think, react like a knee-jerk reaction or shoot from the hip. I do. I certainly do. And have to stop and take a deep breath and be more self-aware. And isn't that, after all, what we're doing on our cushion? We sit to know ourselves. And knowing ourselves, it has to start with knowing our motivations, our feelings, and how we project them on other people, and how we react to other people. But those vows, as you said, like Lee said, doing no harm and saving all beings, I mean, it could even inform how we shop, what kinds of things we buy. I've noticed that my grandchildren shop at secondhand stores for their clothes. And they say that these clothes last forever, you know, because they were made 20, 30 years ago. And that's really taking care of the earth and taking care of other beings and recycling things. I think the more I become aware of our practice and our vows, it has to trickle down to everything we do on a daily basis. And I often fail, and then I have to think about that. And particularly in my relationships with other people, I can be judgmental and unkind. So I often think maybe it would be good to chant all my ancient karma in the morning, because we all share that, right? Greed, hate, and delusion that we live with all the time. Anyway, I'm going on and on, but thank you for your talk, and thank you for making us aware of our vows that we chant. We need to be more conscious of them. Thank you.
Umar?
Oh, when you said close your eyes and you read the four vows and delusions and being and dates and way. And I'm thinking, this is all very difficult. It seems like vast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huge. So I just, that came up first, that's what came up for me. And then what came up, and it was as like, what if I were walking in the rain and I see somebody needing an umbrella more than me? I hand over that umbrella to that person. And I, you know, walk into the rain, because I'm thinking I was afraid of the rain, so I had the umbrella, and walk into a gate open that gate and go and sit zazen in a park. So this whole this simple journey, helping someone letting go of delusion is just a fear, just letting go of fear, and of the water coming down from the sky, and opening just one gate, and just being able to go and sit in a park with my legs crossed. And I was thinking that alone can be enough sometimes, just to have that simple feeling. Don't go for anything big, just go for something really simple. Just one person at a time. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Megan?
Yes. When I think I have just done the vows by rote and haven't thought about them, so I appreciate the time to think about them. And also, every one of them seems impossible to me. And you first say it's impossible, and then you say you're going to do it. And how can you do an impossible thing? Like, delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to, you know, how are you going to do that? But I like Umar's idea of doing small things one at a time. That seems possible. And I'm glad we're talking about them. Thank you.
No, I don't think you can figure out how to do this with your intellect. And that's part of why I wanted to have you focus on your body too tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
I think our vows are impossible and kind of beyond our understanding. So to keep coming back to them, that's the boundless Dharma gate.
No.
Yes, Lee again.
I just have to say that the vow of, I vow to save all beings, is the scariest vow you could possibly, that is the vow that makes me feel somewhat afraid, because how can I say that? It's ridiculous to think that one person can save all beings, but yet I think that the impossibility of it is exactly what we need when we say it. When we say, I vow to save all beings, oh, come on. We know we're not going to be able to save all beings all by ourselves, but just the fact that you make that vow, you know, well, maybe the first being that comes to you may have some problem that you can help them with, or they may have some need that you can help them attain. So just to say all beings, just means, you know, hey, be on the lookout for where you can help. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a very scary vow to make, because you know that it's an impossibility. But, you know, what if that very day, you know, after you've said that vow, you know, there's somebody who comes to you and says, could you spare a dollar, please? I'm just really, you know, I'm out of money, and all I need is a dollar. You know, and you can give them something that they will say, oh, okay, now I can go get that, whatever, you know, that meal that I need. Or, and so it's not, you know, we know we're not going to save all beings, but we say it anyway.
Martha?
I also knew I was never going to be a bodhisattva. It's like being an angel or... It's something very high to aspire to, but mm-hmm. I think that is the point of it. It's an aspiration.
Mm-hmm. I know, see a bodhisattva.
Pardon?
I see a bodhisattva in you.
No. But thank you. No, I agree that they sound like such impossible chores, that it's something for people to wish for more than be able to actuate and actually accomplish. Something to work for.
Yes, Philip.
Thank you for your talk and bringing this topic up. There's something about the way that for me that you talked about it, that helped me feel the reality of it, the kind of give and take of daily life and how it's so much a part of what we struggle with. One of the things that came up for me in the lecture and discussion is something I'm sure that a lot of us, most of us, maybe all of us have on our minds, which is the war in Gaza. And when we talk about saving all sentient beings, the very concrete reality of that. I've certainly found this, and I imagine most of the folks here tonight are virtually or physically. I'm sorry, I have a dental issue and I have some gauze in my mouth, so apologize for this. But one of the challenges in talking about what can one do to save the sentient beings who live in Gaza is, I don't know if the fog of war, that phrase applies exactly, but there are a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of political, emotional, just this the complexity of who we are as a wider community. And a certain manipulation about information, anyhow, that can mischievously or just plain wickedly stir the pot, distort the information that we get from our various sources, and make it almost impossible to talk about to talk about that situation, which may be a purpose in some of that fog of war, whatever the right word is. But anyhow, I don't know if I was curious if anything comes up for you related to trying to bring the precepts into daily life in regard to this specific situation that's such a trial for almost anyone who wants to who would like to respond to the vow that Diane said is so scary, that I vow to save him. Thank you.
We live in a really complex world, and we're exposed to more information and images, videos, than we have been before. And it feels like it's constantly expanding, that fact. So it can feel, when we say to save all beings, when you see those images, you think of those beings and you think of that vow to save them. And there's ways to help. In my life, I found that the best way to help, especially in these complex situations, is to be prepared for what comes up, to take care of my spiritual well-being, to try to live out these vows, to learn about the world, about other people, and to educate myself to end those delusions that I might have, to really know myself. And I think that type of preparation is what we can rely on regardless of these complex situations. And so each person you meet, to meet them with that compassion, with that willingness to save all beings, that willingness to be surprised, to not hold on to your views too strongly, I think that's the best thing we can do. Thank you for your question. Anyone else? Might be a short one tonight. Thank you for exploring this with me, for being willing to do a little exercise instead of a straightforward Dharma talk. And I hope to see you all in person soon, those of you online. Let's do the four vows.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it.
Thank you very much.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.